Last Sunday was Easter. But this Sunday, we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did you ever think about that? We say that a lot because every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we meet on the first day of the week. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:17, "And if Christ has not been raised from the dead, your faith is futile, and you're still living in your sin." Verse 20, he says, "But indeed Christ has risen from the dead." And because Christ has risen from the dead, we can have freedom over sin in our life. And there's no condemnation for sin now because of that. So when you become a Christian, or when you became a Christian, did life, this is your chance to interact, did life get better? A lot of no's? Yes? You know, as I thought about that, in the physical realm, often the answer is no. Because who controls this realm? Satan. And who doesn't like that you become a Christian? But in the spiritual realm, the answer to that question is yes. Your life has become better. And so I want to ask you this morning, what are some of the things that have gotten better for you since you became a Christian?
Less fear.
Less fear? More happiness?
More
joy. We talked about, Mary talked about that this morning. No, more joy and happy. I'm sorry. I forget what you said. Loved, yes.
But I know where you're going.
Oh, yeah, I know where I'm going.
You never.
I'll go where I'm going.
We know where we're going. So, peace.
Perspective.
Purpose. And so, in spite of all that's going on in life, things have gotten better. We're looking at, Glenn had told you, I guess, a couple weeks ago, read the whole book of Romans. And I thought, you know, as I read through that, that's a difficult book to understand at times. We're looking at different things in Romans chapter 8. These are some of the things that Paul says in Romans chapter 8 that are blessings to us because we're Christians now. No condemnation. Our sins are forgiven and forgotten. What does Jesus say as far as the east is from the west? We have triumph over sin. We have peace, that was said. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. I don't know if anyone said that this morning, but we all know that. We have eternal life. We know where we're going. We're adopted by God. That's something I don't often think about. But who's God's chosen people? The Jewish people. We're adopted into the family of God. God works for your good in all circumstances. That now, whenever I think of that, I think of Joseph. Do you think Joseph is saying, "Well, God, you're working for my good," when he gets thrown in a pit, when he gets sold into slavery, when he ends up in prison? And yet, through all that, God is working for our good. God's on our side. God gives us everything that he has. Think about that one. That's verse 32 in Romans 8. God loves you. Jeanette mentioned love. So this morning we're going to look at one of those. And what we're going to look at this morning is the gift of the Holy Spirit. God is literally dwelling inside you in the form of the Holy Spirit. And so I have 10 things that we're going to look at this morning that the Holy Spirit helps us with or does through us. And I don't have just one scripture. We're going to be hopping around. There's oodles of scriptures in the New Testament and old on the Holy Spirit. And if this is just the tip of the iceberg, these 10 things. The Holy Spirit does a lot for us. And we need to learn to rely on the Holy Spirit. But the benefits of the gift of the Holy Spirit, the first one I have here, if you have John 3, 5 to 8, get ready to read that, is sanctification. That's one of those big church words. But sanctification is basically the process in life of you becoming holy, of you becoming more like Jesus Christ. So John 3, 5 to 8 is the account, that encounter that Jesus has with Nicodemus.
Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which has been born of the flesh is flesh, and that which has been born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it is coming from and where it is going. So is everyone who has been born of the Spirit."
Flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit to spirit. We have to be born again. There's two births. There's a earthly birth. I asked someone at work yesterday, "What's your birthday?" The day you were born. And then he told me, and I said, "Well, what's your spiritual birthday?" And he didn't know that day. And I don't know if I know mine exactly. I know how old I was. But we have two births. That's what Jesus was trying to explain to Nicodemus. And so there's a process of sanctification, which means we get rid of those earthly things that are in us, and they're replaced with spiritual things. So we get rid of things of the world, and we want to filter in things of God into our life. That's the process, I think, of becoming more like Jesus. And some of that happens. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. This is a very familiar scripture. This is pretty important, I think, in scripture. But if you have that, go ahead and read it. This is a process, I think, of sanctification that we go through.
"Every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us."
Okay, there's four things in that verse. There's teaching, there's rebuking, there's correcting, and there's training. And the Holy Spirit does that in our lives. And so when the Holy Spirit is teaching us, that's kind of like doctrine. We learn about God. We learn what Scripture says about God. This tells us a lot about Jesus Christ, doesn't it? Then we go into the rebuking. So rebuking has to do with where we're at in the earthly realm, I think. So we're doing some things the way the earth people around us would want us to do them, the way that the people you work with, people we meet in life. And so the Holy Spirit might rebuke us, saying that we shouldn't really be doing this. You need to be doing this instead. So rebuking is kind of where we're at, who we are. Correcting has to do with who we should be. The Holy Spirit's going to put some things in your heart and your mind that this is where I want you to be as a Christian. This is what some of the things I want you to be doing. And the training part has to do with how to be who we should be. Training is to be how to be who we should be. So we're not quite there. That's the process of sanctification. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts to do that. The second thing I have is part of, I think, sanctification process as well, is that the Holy Spirit reveals God's word to us. So if we're reading scripture, sometimes something might not make sense or we might not understand it. And we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand that. And he might bring someone into your life to help you with that, or he's just going to put it into your mind so that you can understand what you're reading. If you're not a Christian, you can read this all you want. You're not going to understand a lot of things. But it's the Holy Spirit's help that we understand some of those things. So 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 12 talks a little bit about that.
"However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us.
That's pretty impressive. The Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of God. Well, it is part of God, so obviously it does. But so the Holy Spirit can reveal things to us through Scripture that we don't understand. But the Holy Spirit understands exactly what it's trying to say to us. And so it helps us understand when we read His Word what He's trying to tell us and how we can apply that to our life. It comes alive to us. Scripture can come alive to us when the Holy Spirit's working in our hearts. God's purposes for your life are revealed through the Holy Spirit. As you read and get into His Word, He can reveal some purposes, some of the things He wants you to be doing, maybe some of the ministries He wants you to be involved with. And the Holy Spirit can remind you of a specific scripture when you're in a situation you need to know that. Now, the thing, interesting thing about that is you need to read this and get it in your mind so the Holy Spirit can bring it up into your mind when you need to share it with a specific person. If we're not reading this, it's going to be hard for the Holy Spirit to bring it back to you if you have something that needs to be shared to someone. So the Holy Spirit can help you witness to other people. The Holy Spirit can help you speak into other people's lives because He'll give you just the right things to say at the right time. That's a neat thing to be able to rely on that, because if I have to rely on myself to say the right thing at the right time, you know how that goes sometimes, right? So we need the Holy Spirit to help us with that. John 14:26 says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." He will teach you all things. He's going to remind you everything He said to you. Everything you've read here, He can remind you of when you most need it. The third thing is the Holy Spirit gives you power to witness. Acts 1:8. When the early church started, there's a lot of neat things that happened, weren't there? And the Holy Spirit was very active. And there was a lot of evangelism and an explosion of the early church. But let's read Acts 1:8.
"But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth."
The Holy Spirit gives you the ability to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ boldly. We don't have to be afraid to share this message with somebody who comes into your life if the Holy Spirit's prompting you to do that. Peter was just a fisherman. And at the start of the church, remember what happened? He preached his first sermon, and how many people came to the Lord that day? 3,000. That was the power of the Holy Spirit working through a fisherman preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. What can He do through you? Just imagine. The Holy Spirit gives power to heal. Chuck, you shared that this morning. It happened in your life. The Holy Spirit can give power to do miracles. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to love those who are lost. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to love those that people despise. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to love people you don't think you could stand. You might consider enemies in the earthly realm, but in the spiritual realm, the Holy Spirit gives you the power to love that person. You can love the least, the lowly, the undesirable, people that other people don't want to be around, people that aren't possible to love on an earthly sense. You can love through the power of the Holy Spirit working through you. If we're going to preach the gospel, we need to have that love for other people, for those who are lost, for those who are destined for hell. That's part of what the Holy Spirit is teaching us as we look at His Word, at God's Word. The fourth thing I have here is, this we just went through. I think Mike might have preached a sermon. The Holy Spirit gives gifts for the common good of all. The Holy Spirit gives a set of gifts, which were called the supernatural gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 7-11. We'll just read it real quick, even though it's kind of review for you. But this comes from the Holy Spirit. And listen to this scripture. It's very clear that this is from the Holy Spirit.
1 Corinthians 12, 7-11. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines.
Two things stuck out to me in that scripture. Number one, they're given not for me to enjoy or to use. They're given for the common good. They're given to build the body up. And the other thing is that at the very end, we don't get to choose what we get. But the Holy Spirit will give what's best needed for the body. And so those are awesome gifts. But only through the Holy Spirit can we have those. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit within us can we function in those gifts. The fifth thing is the Holy Spirit unites a body of believers. You know, we don't have many people here at New Beginnings. And sometimes when you have a small group, it's easier to be united. It doesn't matter if you have 15 or 15,000. The Holy Spirit can unite a body of believers. And I don't mean, those of you who know me know I like football and that I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. So that doesn't mean that He makes us all Steeler fans. Although if we all like the Pittsburgh Steelers, that gives us something to talk about. Okay, Joanne, if the Holy Spirit gives us all love for sewing, can you relate to this one maybe? You know, if we all have the same love of something, it unites us and it gives us something to talk about and we can share, well, this stitch is better than that stitch, or I don't know anything about sewing, so I can't say a lot about that. But what the Holy Spirit does, it unites us in specific things, like pursuing God's will. Can you imagine if we all were united in doing exactly what God wants us to do as a body? And sometimes that's hard because God gives everybody different gifts, and sometimes we always look at things, I'm looking at it this way, Luann's looking at it this way, which look like opposites, but it all works together for unity and the good of the body if we learn to put God's will first. We all need to be united in submitting to the Holy Spirit's guidance and direction in our lives. The Holy Spirit's not going to have us all do something different that's going to pull us apart. If we're all following the Holy Spirit, we might be doing different things, but it's all for the same purpose and the same goal, because He knows exactly what needs to happen in a body. And if we would all be united in working at giving up ourselves, giving up what I want, so that I can do what God wants me to do. That's a little difficult sometimes, and sometimes it's a little blurred. But if we're really focusing on doing what God wants us to do, if we're really seeking out the Holy Spirit, He's going to get us where we need to be. After the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we just read, the next part of chapter 12 has to do with how the body works, how a body of believers should work. All have different gifts, all working for the same purpose. Can't function properly if everyone's not involved, because all the gifts need to be used. Acts 4:32 says, this is the early church when it first started. All the believers were one in heart and mind. They were all focusing on what God wanted them to do, and they all shared everything they had with one another. That's an awesome thing that we don't see too often in this world. It tends to be the earthly thing is, gimme, 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 gimme. And the spiritual thing is, give, 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 give. And so we need to get to that point where we're willing to give of ourselves to minister in a way that the Holy Spirit wants us to. And that's where the early church was. If we look at Acts 4. Sixth thing I have here. John 14:16. If you have that, go ahead and read that.
And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever.
What are some other translations say there? Another helper, the NIV says counselor. Anybody have anything different there?
Advocate.
I think the King James says comforter. The Holy Spirit is able to comfort you. If you're having some struggles in life during times of sadness, if you're mourning or you're suffering affliction, maybe going through some physical issues, the Holy Spirit can bring you comfort. Sometimes you're just going through tough times and nothing seems to make sense. Everything's difficult in life. The Holy Spirit can comfort you. The Greek word that's translated advocate, what did you say, Larry, again?
Helper,
counselor, comforter is parakletos, and it means one who comes alongside, kind of like an advocate. That's where you get advocate, helper, one who is called to your aid. You can meet an intercessor. Often a Greek word we use is paraklete, which you can see it comes from the same word. Someone who comes alongside you, who's there when you need them. Sometimes earthly friends aren't always there when you need them, but the Holy Spirit will always be there for you. Doesn't mean your earthly friends don't love you. It just means sometimes we're not hearing the Holy Spirit maybe the way we should, and we're not there when you need somebody. But the Holy Spirit will always be by your side, ministering to you and helping you. Isn't the Holy Spirit a great thing to have as a Christian? Such a blessing for us. The seventh thing that I have is the Holy Spirit reveals all truth and knowledge. We kind of touched on this a little bit already, but John 16:13-15. If you have that, go ahead and read that.
John 16:13-15. When the Holy Spirit, who is truth, comes, he shall guide you into all truth, for he will not be presenting his own ideas, but will be passing on to you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He shall praise me and bring me great honor by showing you my glory. All the Father's glory is mine. This is what I mean when I say that he will show you my glory.
I think God's trying to tell me something this morning, because when I wrote that scripture down, I wrote down John 13, which is what you said. And John 13:13-15 has to do with serving others, Jesus washing feet. So I think there's a message in there that the Holy Spirit's trying to reveal. All truth and knowledge. Jesus points us to the Heavenly Father. That was his mission. Everything he did was his Father's will. The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit, his main thing is pointing us to Jesus, because that's where salvation comes from. And the Holy Spirit, in pointing us to Jesus, reveals truth in Scripture. And who's referred to the Word in Scripture? Jesus. In fact, we see the Trinity in the first verse of the Bible, I think, when it talks about God and the Spirit and the Word. So the Holy Spirit's going to reveal truth, helps us understand what we need to know about Jesus. The Holy Spirit can reveal things in the future that haven't happened yet. That happened a lot in the Old Testament with a lot of the prophecies coming true. But even today, God gives people sometimes visions or a word of knowledge of what's in the future. The Holy Spirit can reveal unknown things that you don't know about a brother or sister, which would be a way to ministering to them. I know, Mike, you've shared about that happening already in prophetic ministry. That's the Holy Spirit working. The Holy Spirit can reveal intentions in others. I mean, sometimes I get a first impression of someone that's, if it's just me, it's usually 100% wrong. But there's times when the Holy Spirit gives me a first impression that's right on. So sometimes our job is to try to figure out what's the earthly side trying to say, and what's the Holy Spirit? Is it me or the Holy Spirit? That's a struggle, and that's some things we have to work through. Some of the things we struggle with. But the Holy Spirit can do that. And he always does things, always reveals the future, always reveals something in someone's heart or life, always reveals intentions for one purpose, and that's for the good of the body, good of that person, good of building the church up. The eighth thing I have here, Romans 15:13, the Holy Spirit gives us joy, peace, and hope. If you have that, go ahead and read that.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit reminds us that we're free of sin. The Holy Spirit reminds us that we can have joy in the midst of trials. If Chuck and I were out witnessing in Mannheim and we just ran into a rough crowd and they beat us up and left us laying in the street after, you know, bruised and beaten, I think I'd say to Chuck, "Boy, Chuck, that didn't go too well." I mean, how would you respond to something like that? "Chuck, maybe we should go somewhere else. Maybe we got this wrong. Maybe the Holy Spirit doesn't want us here." Do you remember Paul and Silas? When they were beaten and thrown in jail, did Paul look over at Silas and said, "Boy, this is a pretty rotten day"? No, they were singing and praising God in the midst of their trials. That's the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and lives. We need to rely on that sometimes, because sometimes our earthly nature, I think, just wants to wallow in self-pity sometimes. But we need to learn to praise our Heavenly Father during the good times and the bad times. Sometimes it's easier to do that when everything's going well, but more difficult when there's sickness or health issues or things at work aren't going well. But we can have joy in the midst of trials because the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We can have peace in the middle of chaos. And I had to think about, it seems like our whole world, not just the United States, the whole world seems like it's headed towards chaos right now. But we don't have to worry about that because the Holy Spirit gives us peace. This isn't our home. We're just a passing through. Our home is heaven, and it's for eternity. And so we can have peace in the middle of chaos here. No matter what our circumstances are, we can look forward with the hope of an eternity with Jesus Christ, worshiping him. We worship him this morning, but we're going to actually be able to see him. We'll be at his feet, our Heavenly Father, not just the Holy Spirit's presence here, but we'll be in the presence of Jesus and our Heavenly Father. And I had to think about studying it. I don't know I thought maybe when I get to heaven, I'll understand a little bit more about how this Trinity works, but I think that God's so far above us, he'll be teaching us a long time into eternity about till we understand it completely. Maybe we never will, I don't know. But it'll be a joyous thing, and we have the hope of looking forward to that. The ninth thing I have is that we experience God's love for us through the Holy Spirit. This is just a quick one, Romans 5:5.
And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us.
If you sense God's love in your life, that's the Holy Spirit working. I mean, we talked about, did you mention that, Jeanette, I think? Love. Love is an awesome thing. How can we not appreciate the love that God just showers out upon us? The Holy Spirit reminds us of that. Helps us understand a little bit of God's love for us. The last thing I have, when we open up, this is number 10, when we open up ourselves to the Holy Spirit within us, the power of the Holy Spirit will be evident in your life because of the Spirit flowing out of you, people are going to see certain things. And these things are found in Galatians 5:22-25. Very familiar scripture. If you have that, go ahead and read it. I think someone has that one yet. So if we belong to Jesus Christ, the earthly stuff in us is going to be crucified. And instead, love, joy, hope, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, I always forget one, there's nine. Those things are going to flow from our hearts and in our lives, and they're going to be evident in the way we treat people. And if people don't see a difference in us from people of the world, then there's something that's not quite right. We're not connected to the Holy Spirit in a level we need to be connected yet. But those are some of the things you should see in your life that are happening. You should have patience. You should have joy. You should have love for others. You should have some self-control. We need to be gentle. So those are things that are going to be evident if the Holy Spirit's working within us. I think those things are all qualities of our Heavenly Father. If we look at those, can you imagine where we'd be if Jesus didn't have the patience to work with us? I mean, sometimes from an earthly sense, if we would have been Jesus here, we'd say, oh, sometimes Jesus even said, you mean you still don't get this? How long do I have to stay with you? So he had the patience to be with those 12 disciples. And so we also need to have that same patience. But those are all characteristics of our Heavenly Father that should be evident in us. And so these are just 10 things, benefits of having the Holy Spirit. I'm sure each of you could probably name 10 more. It's such an awesome gift from our Heavenly Father. But do we take advantage of that gift the way we should? If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is in you. I should have made a picture of this. One of the things that we learned, we went through a couple of times. We should do this again. I think some of you haven't been through cleansing streams. Most of you, or half of you here, know what I mean when I say cleansing streams. But it has to do with getting rid of earthly things and replacing them with spiritual things. The question for us this morning, are we utilizing the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside us? Are you utilizing that power that's inside of you? Are you realizing that God is in you and he's willing to equip you to do whatever he desires? If we have everything God has available, living within us, and God will use that through us? Is there anything we can't do? I mean, did you ever think of that? That's a pretty awesome responsibility for us to have. Can we say what Paul said in, I think it's Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have that same capability because the Holy Spirit lives within us, each one of us here. So what do we have to do to get there? One of the things we learned in cleansing streams is we have to let the Holy Spirit take control of our mind. We have to give up control of our mind to the Holy Spirit. So the things we think, the thoughts we have, would be all the thoughts that God would want us to have. And we'd have to get rid of all those earthly things that are in here and replace them with God, which means the Holy Spirit needs to take control of our mind. We need to let the Holy Spirit take control of our will. What are you going to purpose to do this week? Well, I got to go to work. I got to make supper. Those are things we're purposing to do. We have planned out already. What does God have planned for me this week? Am I allowed to let the Holy Spirit change my schedule? Am I willing to do the things that the Holy Spirit is asking me? Am I willing to purpose in my will to do what God wants, not what I want? This is easy for me to say, but I'll tell you, it's a lot harder to do. We all struggle with things like that, but that's a challenge for us. And the last thing is he needs to take control of our emotions. We need to allow our emotions to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So if Mike does something that I don't like, I can't get mad at him. I didn't see anger listed in the fruits of the Spirit anywhere. You know, am I allowed to let the Holy Spirit take control of my emotions? Often when someone says something I don't like, it's maybe because the Holy Spirit is telling them to tell me something that I need to change in my life. You know, are you willing to let the Holy Spirit work in you in that way? I think, in closing, we're going to watch a video. But as I thought about this, and I've said this before, I get awful comfortable living here. I mean, we have it pretty good in the country that we live in. We have brothers and sisters in Ukraine. We have brothers and sisters in China, in Iran, in Iraq. You know, there's probably no better place to live than where we live. And so we can get comfortable living here with all the good things we have. Even the poorest of us here are probably in the wealthiest, 1% of the whole Earth's population? That's how good we have it. And so we can get content with all the things we have here. But this isn't where we should be content with. This isn't our home. This is like being on vacation, I guess. And we can't wait. Do you ever go on vacation? Sometimes vacation's nice. It's nice living here at times. But boy, I can't wait to get home sometimes, you know, and back where I belong. That's the attitude we should have. We just can't wait to be home with Jesus, to spend eternity in heaven. That's our home. But we can't rush getting to our home sometimes. I've heard people say many times, more recently, that, boy, I think God's coming soon. I think he's coming. The way the world is, he's going to be coming. It's going to happen soon. It's going to happen in our lifetime. And I say, well, let's not rush him, because God is patient, and he could have come 1,000 years ago, but he's delaying because he wants as many as possible to come to know him as Lord and Savior. And so are we willing to allow the Holy Spirit, who is already in us, to have more control? We need to get to the point where he has all the control. But it's easier for me to work slowly. Let's give him more each and every day if we can. So let's close. You can just meditate in this song, or you can sing along. It's up to you. But let's worship the Lord as you listen. Father, we just thank you for your presence here. What a great gift you gave us in the person of the Holy Spirit. You've given us a friend who's there with us through tough times, hard times. You gave us a friend who's there to help us, to guide us, to encourage us, to give us wisdom. You've given us a friend that helps us understand your word that you've given to us. Help us not to ignore him. Help us not to reject him at times in our lives. Help us to welcome him with open arms. Help us to surrender the parts of us that need to go to him. Help us to look to him as he encourages, strengthens, and empowers us. Help us to be willing to let him use us to bring you honor and glory. That's what we ask in your name, Jesus. Amen.